Well, wouldn't you know it, I discovered that large is not always the best way to go. Resonance, apparently, is the best way to go. So I was able to reduce the voltage required by, or the voltage coming out of the radio tuner that it's, after it already gets whatever it gets from the aerial. But what the radio tuner puts out to the motor, I was able to reduce that output to 173 millivolts by tuning the radio down to 1.7 kilohertz from prior value of 1 megahertz. But I also made other changes. I realized that because I can't see, this is really a speculative video right now because I could not simulate it. I didn't pay for the simulator, so I'm limited by how many components I could get to put in. So I can only speculate whether or not it'll work. But if I do the math, but because I know it doesn't work, because I've tried 10 starter coils and the gain starts to drop off once you get past 8. 8 is the ideal. But there may be another resonance point. Sometimes there are several. So 8 is 1, so maybe there's another one greater than 8. So I just did the math. I multiplied 8 times 14 and a fraction to get 112 starter coils to finally tune the output so that I get exactly my target of 206 amps RMS and 345 volts RMS. And my, well, not aerial, but the radio tuner is putting out 173 millivolts at 1.7 kilohertz, and there are 112 starter coils. Question mark. So I don't know if that's really gonna work that way. I took out the resistor here. I didn't need it. It was getting in the way. So that was the changes I made to optimize the circuit. Now, what was the other thing I wanted to show you? Yes, there's a very interesting. So I went online and I looked for crystal oscillators, and I found two videos that are very good. I also found an LTSPICE program, a couple, several. But more importantly, I found out the definition of how quartz crystals are utilized. Piezoelectric quartz crystals are utilized in an oscillator circuit. They filter what is amplified. They filter out the noise and leave you with the specific frequency that you want, so that only that frequency gets amplified and the noise gets cut away each time the output gets fed back to the input. So I found this guy who made these videos. Two videos, and here he's taking apart a very old quartz crystal device, and this is one plate here that he's got, and then he's taking out the slice of quartz. See, this is one contact. One contact goes to one lead, and the other contact underneath goes to the other lead, and there's a box that holds it all in place. And I guess these contacts look like they have a springing action to press against the plate, and here's the spring. Push against it. So the crystal is a wafer, and it's actually, you can see it. There it is, a wafer. It's a little like a little wafer. So I thought that was interesting. But then he gives the math and the theory. It's really fascinating. So the title of it is Pierce Crystal Oscillator Theory and Design, and it comes in different sizes, and it's on YouTube. I'm not sure what the guy's name is. I didn't keep track of everything. So he talks about Q and negative resistance, which represents your gain. And then he uses a software, very expensive. It cost him several thousand dollars to simulate the behavior of a quartz crystal. It was the only way to really do a good job was to spend the money. So he gets to do it for us, and then he made a really cool video so that we don't have to spend the money. And then he goes and tests it. Pretty cool. And then he puts the crystal in an oven and heats it to see how it changes its behavior. So he did a pretty thorough job. That was one video, and the other video I haven't watched yet, so I just thought I'd let you know. So I keep working on the circuit, trying to reduce the voltage that it has to bring in from the aerial in order to operate an EV, in order to power an EV motor situation. And I'd also would like to try to understand what the radio tuner block diagram section is about, because that's all I'm really doing. I'm looking at something that I don't understand. I can simulate it, but that doesn't mean I know what it is. You know, just because I put a sine wave generator there doesn't mean I know, you know, what is the internals of a radio tuner to give the output that I'm using the sine wave generator as a substitute for. But I had to do it in order to focus mainly on the motor design, and I haven't even finished the motor design. I have to pay money to get the non-trial version to get this thing registered so I can expand the size of the circuit to actually see if 112 starter coils does any good. That's I'm going to have to wait on. can't just do it right away. But in the meantime, I guess I'll focus on radio. Because the Peter Savo story claims that Tesla used 12 radio tubes, which, for all Peter knows, some of those vacuum tubes could have been vacuum tube capacitors, because Tesla did invent vacuum tube capacitors. So some of them might have been capacitors, some of them might have been some other type of vacuum tube, a radio tuner tube, you know, whatever. I'm just going to have to look up the old style of, well, see, I've already looked at crystal radio, a few crystal radio designs, but they don't involve radio tubes, so I have to start looking for radio tube designs to see what I can find, because probably we're going to want to boost the voltage, and we want to filter out the noise and tune it to just one frequency. So it's two different approaches here, and it's maybe I should go over this. That's why I'm still talking. Do we create a frequency, or do we get it from the environment? And that was my mistake, I think, of assuming that I got to use a quartz crystal. I don't know if it's necessary. If it's only being used to filter. See, there, one of the designs for a radio, let's see, where was it? If I can find it in here. Was it in here? No, it was not in here. Okay, I got to go find a different place. Let's see. I found a design for a radio some time ago. All right, so let's see if we can open this up. Oh, shoot, this will bring up the browser. Yeah, well, anyway. Oh, why don't I just... Oh, there we go. So this was one circuit. Is this what I want? Yes. So we have the aerial, and it goes across, or through, I mean, a coil, and then it goes to ground. And the influence of the coil is transferred through a coupling to another coil. But directly, it goes straight to ground, so it's a grounded aerial. And I found in my experiments that a grounded aerial 18 feet, or let's say 20 feet tall, gave me half a volt with reference to just a simple ground reference by comparison with no aerial. So a grounded aerial is capable of bringing in some voltage. I don't know on a car, you know, not grounded, what voltage level a 6-foot antenna, you know, on the backside of a Pierce servo would bring in. Because I only need 173 millivolts. But I do need a specific frequency. So this was a crystal radio set with a double tuner. And it's got parts I don't need. Although, then the other question is, well, how many volts do you need to drive different size speakers. You know, for an earpiece, obviously not a whole lot, but for a speaker, you'd need a little more. So, you know, there are all kinds of things I need to find out to get an idea of what kind of radio I'd be looking at to do what I want it to do. And I've never really studied radio, so I don't know, you know, what do I know? Let alone build one. So the thing I wanted to bring up, though, is the feedback from the motor. If I can get out of this, I'm in, there. where is it? Ah, yes. The feedback from the motor on the current coils, the starter coil side of the transformer arrangement of coils, is going to have all the current, while the main coil is going to have all the voltage. So all this current is blasting back at the radio tuner. The radio tuner is just getting a little bit of voltage from the environment, excuse me, and then it gets this feedback of humongous current, 200 amps, shoved in its face, coming back from the transformer relationship between the main coils and the starter coils. Because the more starter coils, you know, I'm adding, I'm speculating that if I go beyond the optimal 8, I might still get more amperage at a very, what otherwise would be a low amperage, ridiculously low, having lowered this to 173 millivolts coming out of the radio tuner. But all this current is flying in the face of the radio tuner. Could it handle it? Well, see, now that's the part I'm not so sure about. What kind of circuit do we need to do the job? The aerial will be isolated, but the output to what would have been a speaker instead goes to the motor, and so we could isolate it maybe with a transformer, but how well? You know, when we've got massive current on one side, that would be a step down in voltage, and that's not what I want to do. I'm trying to step up voltage. So from the aerial side going to the motor side with the radio tuner standing in between. So I'm not sure how to go about solving this mystery of this one section of the circuit that I don't understand, the radio tuner, because I've never really peered into it. But everything else looks pretty good. I got 57 serrations on, if I choose to use flywheels for the main coils instead of coils, I need only put 57 radial serrations on either side, because if I spin the flywheel at 30 cycles per second, 1800 RPM, that'll give me the required cycle time of 1.7 kilohertz. So that's not bad, considering. And then, of course, the other option for a magnetizable flywheel is to magnetically couple them to not only the flywheel casing and the motor casing, but also the chassis of the car, depending on how much iron you can directly access by magnetically coupling it, so as to increase the inductance of L1 and L2 here, the main coils. Hopefully. and that, of course, harks to the quotation that comes from William Lyon in his book Pentagon Aliens, in which he claims Tesla saying that for every 200 pounds of iron added to his device, 1 horsepower output is increased. That was with regard to his special generator that Thomas Comerford Martin witnessed back in 1894, a demonstration of. But just increasing the mass of iron inside the core of a coil, of course, you're limited by dimensions, well, traditionally, but if we magnetically couple that core to a much larger mass outside the core, then we can just take the mass as far as we want. Because magnetism, you can't shield magnetism, unlike electrostatics. All you can do is reshape a magnetic field and make it go where you want to go, but you can't block it. So with that in mind, you can take your mass for your, iron core coil, you can take that mass and extend it outside the interior of the coil to the exterior. And an Electra U-boat hull is pretty massive, and a hull of a Pierce, or the chassis of a Pierce Arrow is also massive. You know, it's all a question of how much iron is magnetically coupled to each other to give you, you know, at least some mass to work with. And the idea is to lower the saturation point so that you don't reach saturation, because if you reach saturation, you get back EMF. So it's kind of a simplistic way to reduce back EMF is to increase the mass of your magnetizable iron that you're somehow going to squish inside the limited diameter of your coil space by extending it outside of it. And it probably has to be soft iron, more along the lines of iron that would be suitable for a perpetual motion holder experiment that you might do with, you know, Ed Leetskalnin made popularized. He didn't invent it, but he did popularize it. Somebody else invented it prior to him. In those days, you know, they didn't have the kind of fast reaction time iron cores for transformers that we have today, which, you know, transformers of today, their sole purpose is to transfer energy, and so they have to react quickly. They can't retain a memory of a magnetic, you know, inside themselves, and they have to respond quickly, so that their efficiency of transference is high. But that's not, I don't think, what we need here. The armature for the motor is one thing. That's probably a fast transfer time. But the iron, see, these large coils may not be on the armature. If they're flywheels, then they're outside the motor. And they've got their own casing. So they may have to be, and if they're flywheels, so they're going to be, it may be that they're made of a different material than the armature that goes, that the starter coils are wound around. So it's like we're taking apart the motor and putting it in different places in order to try to get it improved efficiency to suit the purpose that we're putting it to, which is not a conventional purpose at all. So you can't just take an off-the-shelf part and expect to get high efficiency that way. You pretty much have to design everything from scratch, redesign it, both conceptually and, of course, the build itself. I think now I've covered everything. All right.